We're starting a new series today. This I believe. If you remember in February, we covered Thriving in Babylon. And in Thriving in Babylon, we looked at Daniel. And Daniel was this guy who constantly made the right choices and constantly lived his life for the glory of God. And he did it in such a way that it inspired people and it revealed to other people who God was and who he is and how great he is. And as we were going through that series, I kept asking this simple question: God, how do we do that here in our culture right now? How do we become a light so that way people can see that there's hope? How can we shine your glory so people can see that you're in charge and you have a big plan, and it's a redemption plan. It's to redeem the whole world and that one day to send your son and return and restore everything. How can we live in such a manner where people see that? And the thing that kept coming back to in my heart was, we have to know what we believe. We have to know why we believe what we believe. And we have to fall in love with this incredible God who says, I love you and I want you to be with me. That's how we're going to make a difference in our culture. We're not going to change culture. Culture is going to keep getting darker and darker. But you and I need to stand up in the culture that we're in right now and be the light here. And it's only when we know what we believe, why we believe it, and we're passionately living out that faith for God, that we can actually shine in this world. But when you start to kind of look at how do we do this, it's overwhelming. But what's incredible, though, is God says, I want to do this for you guys. But it's you and I joining in him. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at the creed. And the creed is something that is very, very unique and it's very special. Now, I want you to hear this very, very specifically this morning, because I want you to know that I'm not going to preach the creed, okay? Because I know some of you are thinking, okay, stop this guy right now. He just mentioned the Apostles' Creed. Well, you're a United Brethren Church. Well, the United Brethren Churches aren't creedal churches. Well, I know that. A lot of people know that. There's a lot of churches that are not creedal churches. A lot of the Baptist churches are not creedal churches, meaning that they don't necessarily support a creed. But if you grew up in a Reformed church, you grew up maybe in a Presbyterian church, you grew up in a Catholic church, the creeds were there. And you said the creeds. Methodist churches quite often use the creeds as well. Now, again, I want you to understand, I'm not preaching the creed, okay? But what we're going to do is we're going to use the creed to reflect and to shine on God's word and see what God's word says about some of these statements. We're going to use it as a guide for spiritual formation. We're going to use it so that way we can see what God wants us to really believe. Because our culture right now is messed up. It's really getting bizarre. And what's really sad is it's Christian culture, too. It's not our culture. It's Christian culture. People who believe in Christ. What's really scary is they don't know what they believe. They don't know why they believe it. They start saying things like, I feel like God is like, you feel? No. You got to know what you believe. It's not based on a feeling. A lot of people base their coming to church, did I get this emotional stir? Was I moved somehow through the music, the message? Did I have an emotional moment with God? That's not right either. Everybody's basing their beliefs on culture, and we're even listening to what religious leaders that are not Christians, but they're from other religious groups, we're listening to what they're saying, and we're bringing them part of our beliefs, where all of a sudden you have universalism, pluralism, you have all these things coming into the Christian faith, and they do not belong there. They're destructive, and they pull us away from the truth of this word that you and I, and hopefully you and I have passionately love. And the creed is something that we can use to walk along and answer some basic questions. Now, some of those basic questions are, what do I believe? I mean, a lot of you don't think about that. I mean, I know I didn't for quite a while. I know that I just kind of came into my faith and said, yep, I believe Jesus is his risen Savior, and he's my Savior, he's my Lord, yep. And then I just kind of wander on. But do you ever ask yourself the question, what do I really believe? I mean, it takes a lot of time to do that. It takes a lot of processing, a lot of weeding, because you probably have a lot of junk in your beliefs that don't belong there. And it says this, and I'm going to read out of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Now, just one thing about this version that I'm using. It's out of the Message. I accidentally picked the Message because when I was doing my study on Bible Gateway, which is, I love Bible Gateway, which is a website that you can get like 10 different versions up at the same time. And I didn't realize that I selected the Message. Now, what the Message is, The Message is actually a paraphrase of the Bibles. So it's not really like a word for word translation like you would have of a normal Bible that we'd want to study. But these verses were so powerful when I read them, just the way they were. And the first one is this: test yourselves to make sure you are solid in the faith. In other words, test yourself. Ask yourself, why do you believe what you believe? Do you really believe that? And then it goes, test yourself. Don't just drift along, taking everything for granted. Give yourself regular checkups. So as we're going through this creed and kind of looking at it, I want you to view it as that you're doing a spiritual checkup. Because of the way that this version says it, that you've got to take time to do checkups on your beliefs. Because as you just kind of grow in your faith, you take in what a pastor has said or another speaker has said, or maybe a friend has said this, or you heard this on the radio, and you take all those things in, and all of a sudden you think you believe all those things. But all of a sudden Paul is kind of saying, no, just slow down. I want you to really think about it and evaluate. Because if you don't, you're going to be going down a path that leads you away from God's word and his everlasting word. And you're going to miss out on all the joy that God has for you in this world. And then the creed kind of can help us to answer, what do I believe? I mean, it's important. Because you don't just go into a grocery store without a list, do you? I mean, if you have, it's a mistake, isn't it? I mean, if you go to a grocery store, usually you say, you want this, you want this, you want to get these things, because they're all good things. You're not going to overspend your budget, right? Well, if you go to the store when you're hungry, what happens? I get 10 quarts of Ben and Jerry's. I get a bag of potato chips. I get pop. I get all this garbage. And maybe you can look at your beliefs as kind of like a list of going, okay, why do I believe this? Why is this important? And then you might have to get rid of the bag of potato chips because it's not good for you. You might need to only have one quart of Ben and Jerry's, not 10. So that's what this series is really about. It's just kind of trying to get a bearing for why you believe what you believe. And then the next question is this: what are my beliefs based on? I mean, we don't ask that question. We just say, I kind of believe this, I assume this, I feel this, I've heard this, somebody has taught me this. But what are your beliefs really based on? Are they based on the eternal word of God? Or are they based on something that you've just brought in? A lot of times right now, our culture is putting in all these, quote, truths into the Christian faith. They're saying, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't believe this. If you're a Christian, you shouldn't do this. If you're really a Christian, you should love everybody and you should do what everybody wants you to do. I mean, they just keep going on and they kind of twist it. And all of a sudden, it becomes a Christian belief. And they're not necessarily good ones. And this is what it says in Proverbs, again, out of the Message. What are your beliefs based on? It says, an intelligent person is always eager to take in more truth. Fools feed on fast food, fads, and fancies. I mean, I started thinking about that, and I'm like, God, I love that version. Because here's what people want in the Christian world right now. They want to look at a church as Chick-fil-A, McDonald's, fast food restaurant you can slide into real quick, get all your junk food that you need for the day, drive away, and never ever have to engage with God until next Sunday. That's what a lot of Christians want. And they don't want to bathe in the truth. They don't want to weigh their foundation and see why they believe what they believe. What is my belief based on? And that's difficult. That's weighty. It's not really exciting, but it's worth it. And then the other thing that we want to kind of look at is as we kind of get to that, what do I believe? What are my beliefs based on? Does my behaviors match my beliefs? And I think this is so important. And this is what the creed can help us do. Start to do some evaluation. Because there's a lot of people that I say, I believe this, but their life does not reflect that. There's a lot of Christians on Sunday, they open it, they carry a Bible into church. Maybe they don't even carry the Bible. They got a phone now, and there's an app for that, and there's an app for everything, right? So they got their Bible on that. And, oh, I'm in church, I'm reading the Bible, I'm faithful, and, you know, I'm worshiping, I'm singing these songs. But then you walk out of here, and it doesn't even last 2 hours, and you're gossiping about somebody, you're saying harsh things about people, you're maybe even lying. You get to work on Monday, there's coarse talk happening, there's magazines that you probably shouldn't be looking at. There's all these things that we're engaged in. So do your beliefs match up with your actions? Because in our culture, if we're going to make a difference, they have to match up. Because you know that old saying? The old saying is, I can't hear what you say because of what you're doing, right? And that's what our culture is saying about Christians. You don't look any different. So why would I want to even put my faith in this Jesus? Well, I've said a lot about what the creed can do, but I want the creed to understand today what I want to kind of develop it and kind of show you what it can help us do. It can help us with the symmetry of our faith. It will help develop our faith more into something that's more rounded. It will help us get into a deeper walk with Christ. The creed can help us with the clarity. Who is God? What does the Bible say about him? Who is Jesus? Who's the Holy Spirit? What is the Holy Spirit? Did Jesus really die? Did he rise from the dead? I mean, all those questions we're going to get clarity on. And that's what the creed will help us with. It'll also inform us that we're part of a big community. You may not think about this very much. You're a part of a community of believers. Anybody that believes in Jesus Christ, you are brothers and sisters with them, and it's worldwide. And it's not something new. It's something that's been around for thousands of years, and we're part of that. But right now, it's our turn to rise up and carry the torch and live our lives in such a way that the world goes, wow, they're different. And so it also inform us and counsel us. What I mean by that is how do I know what to believe about God? How do I know that I'm forgiven? How do I know that I'm loved? And then all of a sudden you get counsel, and then you'll be able to counsel other people. Now, I want you to understand this with the creed, just so you understand. The creed is nothing more than a list of beliefs that a group of people got together to say that these come out of the Bible. The creed is not the Bible. I want you to be really clear on that. The creed is not like an incantation that we just kind of chant, or we just would just go through and read on a Sunday morning and say, I believe this, therefore I'm saved. No, it doesn't save anyone. What the creed is, it reflects and it points to the authority of the Word of God. The creed itself has no authority, but it points to the authority and the power and the hope and the joy that's found in the Word of God. That's what it does. The only way I can kind of use an example to show you how it works is if you kind of think about the moon. We love the moon, don't we? It's big and beautiful, especially on a bright, starry night. And it reflects light, doesn't it? But the moon itself does not actually have any source of light. Some of you are like, what? I didn't know that. Well, the sun actually reflects onto the moon. And its power and its heat and its light reflect on the moon. And then that reflects to the earth. And that's what we see. That's what the creed does. The creed reflects the power, the authority of the Word of God. That's what it does. But it has no authority in it of itself. So that's why I'm not preaching the creed. We're going to preach the Bible, okay? But the creed is all throughout history has been used, though. It's been used for two primary purposes. The first is to correct error. It was designed to, in their culture, what was happening in early, most people would say 150 A.D., which is right after Christ. Some people may even date it to about maybe 300 to 350, but most sources that I've read is 150 A.D., What happened is there was heresy coming in the church. There was false teachings. People were saying the Bible says this. Jesus says this. God says this. This is who God is. And the people were going, no, that's not right. So they took time to write it down to correct those errors that were happening. Let me tell you right now, in the Christian church, we have errors happening. We don't even know what we believe. And we add all these things to the Word of God, and they're not even true. And they become a core belief. We don't want to do that. Dangerous. And so what they were doing is they were addressing that issue. So we're going to use it to correct. And then the other primary purpose of the creed in history has been actually to form the Christian believer in spiritual formation. To develop them and to grow them into the people that Christ wants them to become. that they're solid and they're strong in their faith and what they really honestly believe. So that's what we're going to use the creed to do. But remember, the Bible is the authority, not the creed. The creed has no power, and I'm not preaching the creed. So as we go into it, I just want you to know that. So I want to just read the creed. It says, I believe in God the Father, almighty creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell, and we're going to have fun with that one. And then on the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of the Father Almighty, for whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit and the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Now everybody's like, whoa, you just said Holy Catholic Church. What are you talking about? We're going to explore that, okay? Simply what that means, so you don't get into a panic, the universal church. We're part of something that's bigger than Gaines Church or Cornerstone Church or Ada Bible Church. There's something much bigger than all these churches. It's the Church of God. And the Church of God, I'm not talking about the denomination. I'm talking about the Church of God that God has established through the power of His Spirit. For those who believe in Jesus Christ, you are part of that community, the universal church. So that's what that's talking about. So we're going to get there, and we're going to look at that. So the creed is kind of something that can guide us and correct us. Now, what I want to talk about is the very first thing that it says, I believe. That's a big long phrase, I believe, right? Well, I want to look at Romans chapter 10, verses 9. Because remember, as we look at the creed and talk about the creed, it helps develop symmetry, clarity, community, and counsel. So when we go into this, we're just going to look at this first one. It says, if, and this is I believe, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And verse 10 is huge. It says, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So Paul kind of says there's two pieces that we need to really understand really clearly when it comes to I believe. Because there's a lot of people that have a lot of head knowledge. There's a lot of people that say, I know this about God. I know this about the Bible. I know this, I know this, I know this. But there's a big difference between saying I know and I believe. Huge difference. When you say, I believe, it moves you towards changing, having a changed life. It moves you into living your life out. I know you're not necessarily moved. It might move you, it might not move you at all. Because we know a lot of things, don't we? A lot of good things that we know, but we don't do them. Like I know I shouldn't eat 3 pieces of chocolate cake at a setting. I know I shouldn't drink Mountain Dew. I know I shouldn't do this. But what happens is we go ahead and do it anyways. But when you say, I believe, and this is what I think is very unique with Paul's writing, he says very clearly that you believe, not that you know. That's why you can't just cite this and say, I know all these things. It's you believe. I believe them. And when you say believe, you're saying from the very inner core of my being. Well, I believe in my heart. Is that like that four-chambered thing right here? Well, the people of Israel believe that when they talked about the heart, it's the innermost being of the person. The depth of the soul is that you believe. And this is something that when you say, I believe these things, you're saying, come heck or high water, no matter what happens in this world, no matter what happens in my life, I am not compromising these things because I believe them and they are true. That's what a belief is. A belief motivates us. Paul says, but first of all, in this process of coming into faith, it gets down deep in your soul. And there's something that happens, and it's by the power of God's Spirit, that our hearts, our inner being is opened up to accept the truth that Jesus Christ was crucified for our sins and rose from the grave. And he says, once you've accepted that and you believe that, then something else happens. All of a sudden, out of your mouth, your actions, what you do, what you confess, what you say, they start to line up. And you start to confess, this is what I believe. So it's important that we understand, it's not I know, it's I believe. Because belief brings change. I know does not. Because there's a lot of people that know, have a lot of knowledge about who God is. But they've never let it into their heart. And so the way the gospel works is it works first through the heart. And once it's in there, then it's professed with our mouths. So when we're talking about the creed and we're saying, I believe, we're saying from the depths of my being, these are things that we do not compromise on. The unique thing about the United Brethren Church is the United Brethren Church says, let's major on the majors. And all these other things that we disagree on, those are not essentials. Those are non-essentials. We can talk about that stuff. We can disagree on this. But the essentials, we agree on. And the creed are the essentials. The things that we have to believe. The things that we have to agree on. And there's no compromise on these things. No matter what our culture is saying, no matter what is going on in churches around us. So let me just talk about symmetry real brief. How many of you go to the gym? Everybody's like, no, I think about it. How would I think about going to the gym? Yeah. Or you've seen people that work out in a gym, right? Well, there's always this one guy. He's kind of like a pear-shaped guy. Do you know what I mean by that? Not that way, because that'd be kind of an odd-shaped guy. But there's usually this one guy that kind of looks like this, okay? And then he has two little toothpicks for legs. Do you know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's like Mr. Incredible, right? It's like all upper body, abs, and all arms. You've seen the guy. They usually don't wear shorts. They usually wear pants because they know that their legs are little. And what happens, he's out of symmetry, isn't he? I mean, in fact, you know, he thinks he's strong because he can bench press maybe 400 pounds. But because of his legs are so like toothpicks, me, some out of shape guy, could just walk up to him and pop him, and he'd probably fall right down. Mr. Incredible, I could probably blow on him and he'd fall down. Because you ever see his legs? They're about that big. Because what we know about the human body, where the power comes from, is from your thighs, from your hams, and from the glutes. And what happens is, so you're not working on the legs, because like this guy, he doesn't like to work on legs because he doesn't like to do legs. Because working on legs are difficult. And it's hard. It's not fun. And this is kind of showy when I can have a big chest and big arms. But then you look like this, you're out of symmetry. Well, what happens in our faith, all of a sudden our spiritual faith gets out of symmetry because we focus on one aspect of the Bible too much. Maybe there's a lot of people that love to focus on the end times. And that's their sole focus, and that's what they're looked at, and they build up in that area, but yet they're missing some other areas. And so when we look at the creed, it will help us build that symmetry that's there. Now, some of you are kind of going, oh, that's kind of a weird example. But you know, the thing is if we kind of get this into our minds and understand that there's a lot of people that don't know what they believe or why they believe it, so they focus on the things that are comfortable, the things that are easy. But it's when you start to do the legwork, all of a sudden you get a great foundation. I mean, you've seen those guys that have the big chest, the big arms, and then they have the tree trunk legs. You're not moving that guy, are you? He's strong. And that's what God wants to do in our spiritual walk. He wants to strengthen us. And the creed is something that will help us with our spiritual formation. So the creed will help with the symmetry. It also helps with clarity. Because there's a lot in our culture, clarity is something that is not there. There's a lot of muddy water that's out there. One of the things that the surveys that I looked at, it's by Legionnaire Ministries. It partnered with Lifeway Ministries, and it's online, so you can go and see it if you want. It said, what is our theological temperature? And he's talking about evangelical Christians. That's you and I. An evangelical Christian is somebody that believes that Jesus Christ died on the cross for them. They believe in the full word of God, right? That's pretty much what an evangelical Christian is. They have these beliefs in them that are very muddy and very scary. One of the things that they said is that there's a majority, which is like 48%. So it's not quite a majority. They said that they did not believe that Jesus Christ is truly deity. What? That's what Christians are saying? A majority? Or almost a majority? That's crazy. If Jesus is not deity, we got a serious problem. We don't have the forgiveness of sins. And we're going to talk about that further. And then also it said that they don't believe that the Holy Spirit is a person. They think of it like he's some ethereal kind of presence, some mystical weird thing that's out here just kind of floating around. The Holy Spirit lives in you. The Holy Spirit gives you communion with God. The Holy Spirit helps you understand the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is part of this triune God, which is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is fully God. He is fully a being. I don't know what he looks like. I wish I could tell you. But he is fully part of the Godhead. And Christians, they're afraid of it because they don't understand the Holy Spirit. They don't understand how powerful he is. They don't understand that he's the one that brings life and changes people's lives. So it's essential that we get in and we talk about that. Less than half of evangelical Americans think that the Bible is the Word of God and that it's actually true. I don't know about you, but if I don't have this as the authority of my life, and I don't believe that every single word written in here is truth, I have no foundation. And I can tell you, when a culture change and a little current comes along, a wave hits my life, all of a sudden, I am believing something I shouldn't believe. And they said that another scary part about this is that over half of the evangelical Americans, they also reject what the Bible has to say on ethical and moral issues. And I'm like, no duh. They don't believe that it's the authority, so they're not going to look at it as moral and ethical issues should actually be guided through it. I mean, look at our culture, what we're believing, what we're doing in just the culture. Church is adopting culture, compromising these values and the morals that God teaches. It's dangerous if we're just drifting about. We're going to bring all these beliefs in that God does not say that are true. So this is a phrase from A.W. Tozer, one of my favorite theologians. I just love the guy. He said, "What you think about when you think about God is the most important thing you will ever think." What you think about when you think about God is the most important thing you will ever think. And I would add to that, it's the most important thing in the whole entire universe. Because what you think about God defines your beliefs, defines who you are, and what you're standing on. That's why it's essential to know what we believe, why we believe it, and then we let those beliefs change our heart, and all of a sudden, our beliefs match up with our actions. That's how it works. And the creed is something that can help us do that. So why are we getting so confused? Well, I think we're asking the wrong questions, don't you? I think we're in a pragmatic society, which simply means that they want everything right now. Give it to me right now. I mean, I know my marriage has been broken for the last 20 years. Heal it right now, God. Do it quick. They forgot something. God doesn't work that way. God shows through his word that he uses our trials of life, our difficult times, to shape and to form us into the people that he wants us to become. But it's when we're living in truths, not our own truths, not saying, God arrived, do what I want, when you want, how I want. We're a me society. In our children's programs, the problem that the parents are asking the wrong question. I hear parents all the time all of a sudden go, "Honey, did you have fun tonight?" What? Is that the question we're going to ask our kids? Did you have fun at church? We're training them to be me-focused. We're training them to be entertained. It's no different with adults. Adults are like, "Well, I go to church, and man, if the music was great, if I had some emotional stir, or the pastor was entertaining, I mean, he talked on a topic that I really liked, then I got something. And it was great." That's not church. Church is not entertainment. You know that? It's supposed to be formative. You're supposed to gather information. You're supposed to be checking your beliefs with what the pastor's saying. Am I saying the correct things? Am I instructing correctly? You're supposed to be doing that to me. But you're not supposed to be able to go, "Was I entertained?" That's the last thing we want to do. So next time you pick your kids up from youth group, Whether it's the children's program or the high schools or junior hires, don't ask them, did you have fun? Ask them, what did you learn about God? What unique thing did you learn about how much God loves you or what God has done for you? Ask those kind of questions. Not, was it fun? Because we're just setting up the future generation to be this me thing. So you get clarity, you get symmetry, and then the next thing that you also get is you get community. One of the biggest things that we forget in our culture is that the church is a community of believers. And it's been a community that's been existing for thousands upon thousands of years. I mean, if you just look at the creed itself, it's almost a couple thousand years old. When people across the world, and there's a lot of churches that say this every single Sunday, they're saying, I believe these things. What they're saying is that I'm part of something that is bigger than us. There's a lot of Christians that think that they can just do church alone. You can just turn on the TV and you can just watch that sermon at home and that's church. And you can worship by yourself and you don't need anybody. That's not true. That's not what the Word of God says. We're a community. We're part of something that's bigger than us. And it's been around for thousands and thousands of years. Just think of the Old Testament. We're part of the Old Testament. Did you know that? Part of a chosen people that God has revealed himself to, that God is pursuing, that God is wooing into a relationship and to redeem them. We're part of that. So it goes on. It's much bigger. And then the last thing that the creed, when we talked about it, is it can help you with counsel. It's so important that we get the right counsel. And what I mean by this is if you really believe in the creed, and you say, I believe in the forgiveness of sin. I mean, imagine the power that gives you. I believe in the forgiveness of sin, meaning, did you guys sin this week? You guys are liars. Nobody's even smiling. You sinned somewhere, didn't you? And then when all of a sudden you start to realize that we have a God in heaven that forgives all sins. Instead of us trying to hide from him, instead of us trying to bury that sin and not deal with it, we start to run to him and say, God, I love you for loving me. Forgive me for what I'm doing. Help me to overcome this. Instead of running from him, we go to him. It's a big difference. When I believe this, all of a sudden when somebody sins against me, they've hurt me. Have you been hurt this week? Probably by somebody. Instead of holding it against them, they start to go, I forgive them. The way that I've been forgiven. I've been forgiven unconditionally. Now I got to forgive. And you're not walking around with bitterness. You're not walking around with anger. I mean, all of a sudden you start saying, you know, I believe these things. And it's not just this is a truth that I know. It's I believe this in the core of my being. All of a sudden you start to live it out much differently. You see, right now our culture is writing a narrative. And that narrative is a very muddy and dark narrative that is going away from culture. The creed and other creeds like it help point us back to the truths that are found in God's word. And when churches, if you think of when they were first written, Rome was in power. They were standing up saying this creed in their congregations. I believe they were saying, we are not buying into the narrative of culture. We're buying into the narrative of God. That God is in control. That God is in the process of redeeming us to himself. And he's going to return again. You see, the creed is something that we can use as a tool. But remember this. It's not the authority of God. The authority of God is the Word of God. It reflects this. Helps instruct us, helps bring correction. And it's something that also forms our deep spiritual walk. And if you want to have a spiritual walk that is rooted in Christ, then you'll take time to evaluate. You'll take time to ask these questions. What do I believe? Why do I believe it? What are my beliefs based on? And then am I really living this out? So I'm just going to invite you over the next, and it's going to take us probably 10, 11 weeks to walk through this. To not be this guy. I'm going to be asking you to do some legwork. Or it's going to be difficult. It's going to require you thinking and not just being entertained here. I want it. I want to see us being a church that is so in love with God. And a church that is living out their beliefs. Not just saying, I know this to be true, but I believe it, therefore I'm doing it. And all of a sudden we're a light in the world. I want that for our church. I want that for me. So I want to invite you in this process. This last song that we're going to sing, I want you to declare it to God. It's called This I Believe. But join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning. And God, we just thank you that you're a God that knows what we need. You're a God that never changes, and a God that is in control of everything. And God, we would just ask, Lord, that you would use the next several weeks of this church just to build us up, to help us to become the full people of God that you want us to be, not just a person who's focused on one aspect of the Bible, but one that is fully rounded and spiritually growing. God, help us to weed out the things that our culture has put into the beliefs of the church that are false. And renew us and revive us and help us to live passionately for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit gaineschurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.